Good morning. Unless God say different, we're not going to be up here that long this morning. I'm talking with my wife the other night. We both have been pretty much getting hit left to right physically. And so I ask that you would continue to pray for us. Man, we have to listen to our wives sometime. Whenever you decide to give yourself over to the work of God, I'm a witness that you will experience a spiritual battle, be it wherever he can attack you at. You want to know why? Because at least three people in this building have mentioned already how they see this church growing and how they can envision and see every seat filled. And when that happens, and when the vision begins to catch on, then Satan begins to try to work on people. And he can't get me spiritually. He can't get that. That's God. But, can he work with the body? But I'm here to tell you that, you know, it's not about me. It's not about my condition or Lisa's condition or your condition or whatever you have. But it's all about God. And it's all about being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Okay? That's what it's always about. So I come to encourage you, even in the midst of not feeling well myself, I come to encourage you to keep moving forward. Keep extending yourself as far as you can for the Lord. And he'll bring everything to pass. We may not understand it all. You know, some of us might not even make it around to see it all. But know it for sure that God is working on the behalf of this church. And he didn't bring us this far. He didn't bring you this far to turn around and quit now. So expect some hardship. But be faithful, as the Bible says, as a good soldier. Complete the task that God has for you and for this church. Today I want to talk to you from the thought of yielding to the will of God. Yielding to the will of God. Won't you open your Bibles with me to Luke, the first chapter. When you get there, we're going to go to verse 26, and we're going to go through verse 38. A lot of scriptures be up here for a minute, huh? It reads, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor in God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maid servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I want to talk about yielding to the will of God. We are studying on missions. We just completed that study, that part of the study of missions. I hope that all of you will come out on this Tuesday evening. We're gonna hopefully break up the sides, since everybody always sit on this side and everybody always sit on this side. Let's have these two teams right here, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to play Bibleology, okay? And we're going to see how much we know and really what we don't know. I'm speaking for myself, too, okay? And see, in doing that, it's just a little break in the action. Then we'll get back to mission on the following, sometime after Christmas. Let's put it like that. Okay, but today we want to talk about a woman by the name of Mary. Okay, do you know what your name means? Mary means elevated. One part of Mary means elevated, elevated one. Okay, one that is lifted up, one that is high above. Okay. So don't get your nose up, you know, because God has elevated you or exalted you. In other words, in the Bible, it talks about Mary being exalted. Her name means elevated in one way and exalted in another way, okay? We have here all that we should know concerning the incarnation and conception of our blessed Savior. 6 months after conception of John the Baptist, and forerunner of the Christ. The same angel Gabriel who made known to Zacharias God's purpose concerning John is here employed to Mary. Both are called to continue God's plan of salvation and redemption. You see, I believe that the world has it wrong. I believe that the world has it wrong. And what I heard on the radio helped me out, because the man was saying that it seems like to me we have two different saviors. The world's savior, or the world's savior at Christmas, and the Christian savior. The world's savior at Christmas is Santa Claus. See? And they put out, and everything is elevated, everything is built up because of Santa Claus. But then we have the Christian Savior, who is Jesus Christ. And see, the sad part about it is that most Christians don't separate the two. You see, most Christians rephrase that. Most Christians they celebrate both of them instead of celebrating Jesus Christ. You see. When they're with their worldly friends, or when they go out to the mall and all that kind of stuff, then guess what they want to do? They want to celebrate Santa Claus. Okay? But now, when they come into church and everything, and they put their holy suit on, then all of a sudden they want to celebrate Jesus Christ. But you cannot put Santa Claus in the place of Jesus Christ, because he holds no weight when it comes to that. Now, there was a true and real Santa Claus, as we really know. There was. There was a man by the name of Santa Claus, actually. And he did distribute toys. And he did do good things, okay? But there's no redemption, no salvation in Santa Claus. All the salvation and all the redemption is through the coming of Jesus Christ and him alone. And so on today, we want to talk about Christ and his redemption, his work. We want to talk about the evidence of Christ. We will talk about the yielding of a servant. Okay? In verse 26, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." In the sixth month after the appearance of Gabriel to Zacharias, or after Elizabeth became pregnant, okay, the angel Gabriel appeared this time to a virgin named Mary who lived in the city of Nazareth in the district of Galilee. Mary was betrothed to a man named Joseph from the lineage of David, who inherited legal rights to the throne of David, even though he was a carpenter. At that time, betrothal was considered a much more binding contract than engagement is today. When you were betrothed back then, you might as well have been married, because it was a contract, okay? It could be broken only by a legal decree similar to divorce, okay? Now, what we're looking at here is they're setting up the structure. They're setting up how the prophecy is going to be fulfilled. And what is happening here is that Mary is also of the lineage of David. You see, Mary is of the lineage of David, and her husband is also of the lineage of David. So Jesus Christ came in fulfilling the prophecy of there will always be somebody from your lineage, David, to sit upon your throne. And so he can't help but be Christ, because he's from the lineage of David on his mother's side and from the lineage of David on his earthly father's side. Amen. So he has to be the coming Messiah, the coming Christ, according to this scripture. Okay. Verse 28 says, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" It says the angel addressed Mary as one who was highly favored. Okay, before I go on, there's something that stuck in my mind as I was reading and studying this. Is that where we talk about, you know, being favored of the Lord. We're talking about having favor with God. But I want to tell you that when you begin to have favor with God, then there's great responsibility that comes with that favor. Just don't bask and rejoice in the fact that, oh, the Lord has favor over me. No, he has favor over you because he has something for you to do. He don't have favor over us just for us to sit back and to shout hallelujah, I have favor with God. No, when great favor is given on a person, then there's great responsibility for that person to show the world who God is through the favor that God has shown upon you. And if we're not doing that, and if we're just sitting back and just saying, the Lord is so good to me and all of that, I think that's why I don't shout so much anymore, because I'd rather show you what God is doing for me, how he's having favor with me, instead of just talking about it. It's good to sit around and talk about how good the Lord is, but what are we doing when it comes to God's favor? What are we doing? We are giving favor so that we can give it to somebody else. That's what favor is for. The angel addressed Mary as one who was highly favored, one whom the Lord was visiting, hear this, with special privilege. She has special privilege. Don't you think? I mean, that's some access. Thank you, Lord. That's some access to God. You're the mother of the Messiah. That's special privilege. She's just not, hear this, an ordinary person, but let's get into it in a minute. I'll be right there. But she's not just an ordinary person. She's highly favored of God. She has special privileges by God. Now, any other 15, 16, 14-year-old girl probably would have went crazy, not knowing how to handle this, but she was specially handpicked by God for a specific reason. Now, Lord, help me. Everybody in this room has been specially handpicked by God for a specific reason, a specific task and purpose in their life. And the ultimate thing and our ultimate purpose is to bring glory and honor to God. That's our ultimate purpose. And so if we can look at our lives and we're not bringing our lives or not bringing honor and glory to God, then are we fulfilling our purpose? Are we doing what God has for us to do? Mary was highly favored. Mary has special privileges. But there's two points that we need to look at when it comes to Mary. Okay? The angel did not worship Mary. Did not worship Mary. Okay? The angel did not pray to Mary. So all y'all Catholic friends, y'all can point that out. Did the angel worship Mary? Nope. Did the angel pray to Mary? Nope. Okay? He simply did what? He greeted her. He just simply greeted her because she was chosen vessel to be used by God. Now, if God's so chosen, he could have said, Florence. You see what I'm saying? And then her name would have been in the history, in the book. You understand? So Mary is someone that God highly favored, that God chose and gave special privilege to. Why? Because he had a specific purpose for her. Mary's no different than the rest of us. Why? She had children after that. She had James. Okay? Joseph. Well, I can't pronounce his name. And she had daughters too. Okay? So she had a special privilege, a special favor over her for one reason, and that was to accomplish God's purpose. That's it. Not to exalt her to some kind of divinity. You're talking about four different gods then. Think about it. The Catholics believe that, and most of you might know this better than me, but believe that you have to pray to Mary to get to Jesus so Jesus can go to God. That's a little bit too much, isn't it? When the Bible tells us that we have access now to the throne room of God. How? Through Jesus Christ. Him alone. Him alone. Number two, it says, he did not say that she was full of grace. You see, the only one that was full of grace is Jesus Christ. The only one that has enough grace to shed and to spread throughout the whole world is Jesus Christ. So the angel Gabriel never said that she was full of grace, but he did say that she was highly favored and that she was blessed among women. Does Mary deserve a seat of honor? I believe she does. I really believe she does. Because God saw in her something that he couldn't see in anybody else at that time. She was the one chosen to carry his son. Verse 29 and 30. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. and consider what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Okay? Mary was troubled by the greeting and wondered what it meant. The angel calmed her, then told her that she would be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah. Okay? That she would be, you have found favor with God, and I got something for you to do. Now, check out this, okay? Verse 31 through 33. Verse 31 through 33 says what? "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Verse 31 through 33, these are written, the important truths about the Messiah, okay? If anybody want to ask you something about the Messiah, then here are some important truths about the Messiah, okay? Let's think about these things, okay? Number one, the real humanity of the Messiah. The real humanity of the Messiah. The Bible teaches that you will conceive, he told Mary, in your womb and bring forth a son. What is that teaching us? That through Mary, Jesus received his humanity. Through the virgin birth, he received his humanity. Number two, his deity and his mission as Savior. Okay? It reads, "And shall call his name Jesus." Now, what does Jesus mean? We know. I'm getting y'all started early. Well, let's go back to Matthew. I don't have this on there, but just go back to Matthew 1 and 21. Okay? One and 21, it says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Why? What's his mission? "For he will save his people from their sins." So, it means that Jehovah is our Savior. We'll get to that in a second. So he is our Savior. His mission is to save us. Not to come down and tickle our ears and make us feel good. But to show us our sin, to show us our position before coming to Christ, so that we might repent of ourselves, of our sin, and come to him and be saved. Why? Because his mission is to save, to seek, and to save that which was lost. And I don't know about you guys, but I was lost, completely lost, and he came and saved me. He's on mission, you see? And now, as I mentioned on last week, you know, who's going to be the one to stand in the wilderness and cry out, "Repent"? I'm not telling anybody to get out on the on the corners with a big old sign, "Repent." I'm not telling you to do all that. But what I am telling you is that we are on mission. We have been called to fulfill what God has for us to fulfill. Time is running out. Playing time is over. Things ought to be happening. Why? Because God has called us to a specific purpose. The church is not here to just be a building on a hill. But the building on the hill is here in order to house the church, to prepare the body of Christ to do the work of ministry. To do the work of mission. Okay? So his name is Jesus, meaning Jehovah is the Savior. And this is his deity and his mission as Savior. His essential greatness. He will be great both as to his person and his work. He will be great in his person and in his work. There's nobody like Jesus. His identity as the Son of God. He will be called the Son of the Highest. All of this is in Scripture here. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. And he is the only one that has a title to the throne of David. He's the only one that has a title to the throne of David. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. This established him as the Messiah. Because who's going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem? Jesus. Him alone. Whoops, that's not right. That's not right. Satan is going to try to sit on there first. Oh, yeah. He's going to try to sit on there first because he's still trying to assert himself or to be like God or to be above the Most High. Even to his last effort, he's trying to be the Most High God. But Jesus will come back. The Bible says in his shining glory and shall do away with Satan forever. And then he shall take up and sit on the throne of David. And then the government shall be on his shoulders. His everlasting and universal kingdom. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. We need to understand that. That there's coming a time where we're going to have to face the king of the kingdom. And see, in me watching all those knight movies and all that kind of stuff, you know, when a knight failed his king, what happened? He had to stand before him. And either he got ostracized or he got exiled or whatever like that. But he was not able to stand in the presence of the king. Why? Because he had not fulfilled the will of the king. And with this in mind, we ought to live our lives in an understanding that we are going to stand before the king. We are going to stand before the king. Now, verse 31 and 32a refers to Christ's first advent, okay? 32b and 33 describes his second coming as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords. I'm getting there. A lot of information in this. Lots, okay? Let's look at Mary, though. 34. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" 35. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Mary's question, "How can this be?" was one of wonder, not of doubt. I don't believe she doubted the Lord or doubted the angel, but I believe she wondered how is, hey, it takes two to tangle. So how is this going to work out? Okay, so I don't believe she doubted. You know, how could she bear a child and never have had relation with a man? Although the angel did not say so, the answer is a virgin birth. A virgin birth. How's that? It would be a miracle of the Holy Spirit. You see? It would be, when we think about the tasks that we have in front of us on a day-to-day basis, You know, if we try to go in our own way, our own spirit, then we're doing things that's outside of the will of God, and we're trying to accomplish things other than the way that God wants them to be accomplished. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to have full control over us, when we say, yes, Lord, and allow the Holy Spirit, then God's plan is in action. See, too many times what we want to do is we want to do things that God told us to do in our own way. We want to do what we think is going to please God. But God has already, he has a plan, people, and he has a purpose for everything that he wants us to do. Whenever me, Stephen, went about to try to do things my way, I failed. Every single time, I quit. I ran away. But every time I said, Lord, here I am. Take me, use me, have your way. It's always worked out. Even if I didn't like it, it worked out. It's not about me. It's about him. It's not about you. It's about him. So it's a work of the Holy Spirit. He would come upon her, and the power of God would overshadow her, would give her what he had said would happen to her. She didn't have to understand it. She had to obey it. To Mary, problem of how, to the human mind, this would seem impossible. But God's answer is the Holy Spirit. You know, to the things that we think are impossible in this life, God's answer, hear this, is the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the power of God that enable us to do the things that are impossible for us to do. The Holy Spirit. I can't do that, God. Good. Preacher just passed away in the community, in the black community, Reverend Arthur Mills, 85 years old, great man of God, one of my mentors, wisdom from on high. And I came in there one day, and he had me to preach at his church many times. And I walked in the office, and I wasn't feeling well. Bad day that day. Wasn't feeling well at all. But I was called to preach, so I had to go. And I walked in there, just me and him and his associate preacher, pastor in there. And he said, young preacher, how you doing? I was going to say the old Christian saying, oh, blessed and highly favored. Right? Lying through my teeth. Bad. I was feeling bad. But the Holy Spirit told me to tell him, you know, I don't feel good, Pastor. I was going to call you and say, get somebody else. But so this man, he said, good. I'll never forget it. I said, what do you mean good? I don't feel good. He said, good, because now you're not operating on your own power. And I got up there and preached and don't even remember half of what I said. But everybody else did. See, we think that we have to do things on our own. But we don't. We just have to yield ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us what we need to do what we can't do. Amen, somebody. That's where the amen go. Okay? Therefore, also the Holy Spirit who is to be, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Here is the statement of the incarnation. Mary's son would be God in the flesh. Y'all hear that? That's God in the flesh. In Matthew 1 and 23, it says what? Behold, Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You see, as I've been saying over and over again, that God has continually been pursuing us. You know, God has continually, been trying to make a way to bring us back together again. God has been pursuing us from the very first time that Adam took of the fruit up until the time that Christ comes back and reign forever. God is in hot pursuit of each and every one of us and every person that would yield to him. He's reaching out. He's trying to get us to understand his plan and his purpose for salvation and redemption. And he's using us to pursue the world. So Emmanuel is translated God with us. He is with us because he is the one that's doing it through us. He needs some people to yield. That's all he needs. Verse 36 and 37 says, for God... It says, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, have also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. Verse 37 says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Mary was wondering, how can this be? But if Elizabeth can have a baby, you know what? And she well past the baby making age. Guess what? Must be possible then. So God reassures her that he can bring this to pass. Okay, this miracle should reassure Mary that nothing is impossible with God. Verse 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." According to your word. And the angel departed. What happened in all of this? God laid out his plan to Mary. He laid out everything that the son is supposed to be, the name she's supposed to call him. Everything. Mary had a clear picture of what God wanted her to do. And the only thing that she really, really had to do was yield herself. In other words, God says, this is what I'm going to do, Mary, but I'm going to use you to get it done. Now, what you say about that, Mary? Mary said, let it be to me according to your word. What about us today? Nobody has ever had a dream or a vision. Nobody have ever looked at and read a scripture and said, okay, God, Lord, I hear what you're saying. I see what you're saying in your word. Now, God, let your word come to pass in me. Let it be in me. I hear you, God. I see the plan. I see the direction that you want me to go in. But God, so let it be done according to what your word has said. In other words, not my will. In other words, even though I want to run, God, I'm going to trust you anyway, that you will fulfill what you have said that you will fulfill. This Christmas, when we look at Mary, we should see a woman that yields herself to the will of God. Not only just the mother of Christ, but somebody who said, yes, Lord, regardless of what the outcome is. Don't you know that Mary was, they could have stoned Mary? Don't you know that Joseph could have broke the betrothal because of she was pregnant? Don't you know they would took her out to the gate of the city and would throw rocks? rocks and stoned her till she was dead. But she said, anyhow, let it be. Regardless of what, Lord, because you said it, I know that you will bring it to pass. So on this Christmas, just don't look at Mary as the mother of Jesus. But put yourself, men, women, in Mary's shoes. Because God is speaking to each and every one of us. God is talking loudly, and we can understand what he's saying. And what he needs us to do, all of us, in spite of what happens in our lives, is to say, let it be. I'll trust you. I'll follow you. I'll take the extra step. I'll take the ridicule and the punishment that I have to take. But let it be according to your word.